God is so good and so great, and to be able to join together in singing his praises. I hope you listen to the words of that beautiful hymn and those beautiful hymns that were brought together and were moved by them. And so what a blessing it is to worship together this morning. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Verses 37 through 43. And if you remember, this is our second weekend to our sermon series called Giving Up. And we kind of talked last week how during the season of Lent, one of the things that happens is people, from the leading of the Holy Spirit, give up things. Sometimes it's some kind of food, sometimes it's a drink, sometimes it's the internet. You know, one year I gave up pizza, and if you know how much I love pizza, it was very, very hard. But we do that in an effort to draw near to God, to replace whatever we're giving up with a time of prayer and Bible study. And one of the things that Paul brought up last week is, you know, making sure we're giving up the right things, making sure we're giving up things that the Father would have us to give up as we try and draw close to Him. And so we felt led and moved by the Spirit to begin a sermon series called Giving Up, where each week we look at different things that God clearly calls us to give up in Scripture. And we started last week with giving up control. And we started there for a reason, because it's one of the most essential parts of growing in faith and walking in faith. If you're still trying to control your life, if you're still trying to keep control away from God, hey, it's going to be hard for you to truly walk with Him. And so we found that there is a peace that comes and a freedom from giving up control that we never thought possible until you actually do it and surrender control to God. Well, this week we're talking about giving up popularity. And the Lord led me to this passage, and of all the passage I could have used to preach about giving up popularity, this is one of the more difficult ones, and you'll see why as we get into it. But this is where the Lord has led us this morning, so let's look at it together. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in Him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet: "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about Him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. The word of God for the people of God. Popularity. You know, we desire at a young age to have affirmation, right? It's been proven by studies that even infants know and are able to follow social cues. And as we applaud something they do, what do they do again? That same thing, right? So if they make you smile and laugh, then that's an affirmation to them to keep doing that same thing. And that desire for affirmation, it continues on when we're in elementary school, when we're in middle school, when we get into high school. That desire for people to ultimately like us matters to us. It matters greatly to us. And it's not always a bad thing. But it can be if it becomes the thing. If it becomes something that is so crucial to us that we care more about pleasing people than we do about pleasing God. You know, I'm somebody who doesn't like to disappoint anyone. And if I've disappointed someone, I beat myself up left and right, and Satan joins right in and beats me up even more. I mean, I feel so upset if I've let anyone down. And it's not necessarily even a desire to be popular or liked, but it kind of feeds into the same thing. And here we have it in our passage, people unwilling to profess their faith because they're afraid of what might happen to them in society. Well, I think we see this all the time in our society today. I think we see this desire to be popular, this desire to be liked, on display everywhere. And whether it's on social media or whether it's in person, people crave to be accepted. People crave to be liked. It reminds me of the Super Bowl commercial that I saw, where it was a Sprint commercial and they were trying to get people to buy Sprint phones instead of Verizon and trust them with their data plan. And they say their plan's just as good as Verizon. I don't know. I'm not into that. I can't tell you who's got the better plan. All I can tell you is in their commercial, they preyed upon our desire to be popular and our desire to be liked. This man was sitting in a factory and there were a bunch of robots around him, and he was building one of the robots, and the robots asked him, and they said, "Why are you still using the Verizon plan when the Sprint plan is just as good and cost half as much? And then the robot begins to laugh at him. And then all of a sudden, the robot next to him begins to laugh at him. Then the whole room begins to laugh at him. And he proceeds to leave and walk straight to the Sprint store and change his coverage. Why? Because he wants to be liked. I'm afraid that's what a lot of people do in their lives. I'm afraid that's what a lot of people do even when it comes to faith. They'll accept faith just as much as long as it doesn't cost them anything, as long as it doesn't make them unpopular, as long as it doesn't harm them in any way, shape, or form. Well, here in these powerful words, what we're going to look at this morning is what we're going to see is the limitations popularity can place on our hearts, God's judgment against loving popularity more than Him, and why we, even as believers, can fall into this trap. All right, so let's look at it together. The first thing we see is this: the desire to be popular can limit the heart's willingness to believe God. The desire to be popular can limit the heart's willingness to believe God. Now, at first glance, this might seem like an odd connection to make, but if you know the context, if you know the people that John is talking about here and the people who are refusing to accept Christ after seeing miracle after miracle, after hearing Him teach with such authority, they still can't accept Him. Why? We're told in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 10, because they're jealous of Him. Mark tells us they handed Jesus over to be crucified out of envy. In other words, Jesus was taking some of their popularity away. In fact, the first time we're told that they want to kill Jesus, it's not because Jesus did anything wrong. It's because Jesus was doing something they couldn't do. And when they saw Jesus doing things that they could not do, they hated Him for it. They hated that Jesus' authority outweighed their own. They hated that His deeds outperformed their own. And they hated that His religion, which was all about having a relationship, outpaced their own. And so while Jesus was bringing people to the Father, they were bringing people to a religion of chains, where they could never achieve what they were laying out. This is why no matter how many miracles they saw, no matter how many truths they heard, no matter how many encounters they had, their hearts remained hard. Because what Jesus was doing was not increasing their standing before God and before people. You see, when caught up in trying to be liked by the world, our hearts get filled with fear instead of faith. And when this happens, we reject anything that upsets the culture. They had a culture in their day. The Jewish people had a peace with the Romans who were occupying them. They got along, kind of. And they had a culture of religion. And they readily obeyed some parts of the Word of God. And they blatantly disregarded other parts. And they developed this culture. And Jesus comes along and he says, well, the parts you think you're not obeying correctly. And the parts that you're ignoring really matter to God. And so they rejected him. We reject anything when we're trying to be popular that upsets the culture. And don't we see this today in our society? Right? We see an utter rejection of God's word when it comes into conflict with today's culture. And it doesn't matter what the issue is. It can be about capital punishment. It can be about abortion. You can take any issue, any kind of sexual issue, whatever it is. If it goes against the culture, even Christians, you'll see turning away from the Word of God to go with what the culture says. And so we reject anything that upsets culture, and we reject anyone that usurps our authority. And Jesus was doing both of these things to them, right? He was upsetting their culture, who God loved, and what God desires of them. And then he was upsetting their authority, usurping their authority, and they hated it. You know, what's our verse, our theme verse for this whole series? It comes from Mark, the 8th chapter, verse 35. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. They didn't like that teaching. They wanted to have their life here, and they wanted to have all of it they could get. You see, the translation is, we only believe what Jesus says if we're desiring to be popular. We only believe what Jesus says when it's convenient, when it helps our standing in the world, and does not upset anyone. And this is why so many people, instead of being ruled by God, end up being ruled by the masses. I can't tell you as a pastor how disappointing it is when I look out on Facebook and I watch the news and I see people all over this country being ruled by the masses rather than God. And here's the thing about being ruled by the masses. What makes you mad today might not make you mad tomorrow. You'll find a whole different thing to upset you. You'll find a whole different issue to champion. But when you're ruled by God, he never changes. And see, that's the difference. We also see that God's judgment against loving popularity more than him is to reinforce a person's unbelief. This is, I'll tell you, I told you to start with, this was a hard text. And it is. Because we get a picture, a glimpse of God that maybe we don't feel as comfortable with because we don't talk about it from the pulpits and around the nation, and you don't hear it on the television, you don't hear it on the radio. The very idea of God hardening a person's heart is rather unsettling to us. We don't like the idea of God doing such a thing. We can't bear the thought of God doing such a thing. And we've become so fixated on the love of God that we've thrown out his holiness, that we've thrown out his sovereignty, that we've thrown out his righteousness, and all on the altar of his love. But God can do all those things simultaneously. Now, the Calvinists can look at this, and if you're not familiar with what a Calvinist is, that they believe in predestination, that God chooses some to go to heaven and some to go to hell, and they believe in what's called divine election. They would look at this passage and they would say, there's proof. Divine election. God is hardening those people's hearts, and no matter what they do, they cannot come to God. The other side, the Arminians, would say, no. What I see there is a lot of human freedom. because their hearts were already hard before God began to harden them. Here's what I say to you this morning. I say that while God in his judgment reinforces unbelief, we do not see him forcing unbelief upon a person. You never see that in the scriptures. You see God reinforcing someone's unbelief that is already there and hardening a heart that is already hardened. But you do not see God taking someone who would otherwise love him and making that person hate him. That's nowhere in the scriptures. God takes what's there and magnifies it. And that's what we have going on in this passage. And why did God do it? Why didn't God change their hearts? Because God wasn't going to violate their free will. He wasn't going to violate their conscience. All this to say that it's all for his glory. Because even as they reject Christ, they're fulfilling scripture from the prophet Isaiah in chapters 53. And I believe it's in chapter 9. We're told there that the Messiah was going to be despised and rejected. We're told there that their hearts were going to be hard. We're told there that they were going to have nothing to do with Jesus. That prophecy didn't harden the people's hearts. That prophecy just revealed their hardened hearts. That's a big difference. You see, loving popularity is an endless task that requires a person to be flexible with their morals, their beliefs, and their love. And such a person will always be searching, never knowing that it is Christ alone who can satisfy their longing heart. One of the first things I do when I do marriage counseling is I say, unless you are content with who you are in Christ Jesus, there will always be problems in your marriage. Why? Because you will be looking to your spouse to provide something for you that only God can provide, you to be okay with yourself. I can't make Missy be okay with herself. She can't make me be okay with myself. My Father in heaven can. My Father in heaven can give me peace about that. But when I desire worldly popularity, instead of running to him, I run to the world. And that leads us to our last thought. Even believers can fall into this trap because we desire peace and prosperity. It's not a bad thing to desire peace. It's not a bad thing to desire prosperity. But look, here we've got people, teachers of the law, who believe everything Jesus is saying. They believe every miracle he's performing is of God. They believe that he is the Son of God, yet they won't tell a soul because they want peace in their homes, they want peace in their cities, and they want prosperity. And they're afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. John goes on to call them in chapter 19... secret disciples in verses 1 through 8 there. And we're revealed two of their names, John of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Two people who believed, yet they would not tell anyone because they were afraid of what might happen to them. In other words, they and others were willing to follow Jesus if it did not cost them anything. They wanted Christ, and what else did they want? The world. There was a time in the church where you could live like that because Christianity was widely accepted in our culture. I want you to know, the more Christianity is not accepted, the more people become to dislike it, we're going to be forced to make a decision. Are we going to choose God or to be popular in the world? Are we going to choose our Savior or are we going to choose the masses? We have to make that decision. So I want to close with a series of questions for you this morning. Whose praise are you searching for today? Is it the praise of the world or the praise of God? And how can you know for sure? Here's four questions I want you to ask yourself this week. The first one, whose truth do you believe? Who do you go to for truth? Who sets the bar for what truth is? Is it what you hear out there? Or is it what you find in here? Whose truth do you believe? Secondly, whose solutions do you trust? Are you going to solve your problems the way the world tells you to solve them? Are you going to solve your problems the way that God tells you to solve them as He reveals the answers through the Holy Spirit? Thirdly, whose schedule do I keep? Do I run the race that the world sets before me? Or do I run the race that God sets before me? And then our last question, whose endorsement do I want? I don't talk about politics all that much. And one of the things I think about and consider with politics, it always makes me laugh. They run around trying to get endorsements, right? They'll do anything they can if they can get that one person they're seeking to come out and stand on the stage beside them and say, this is my candidate. I want this person to be my congressman, and they love that, right? It doesn't matter if Republicans, Democrats, they both do it, independents, everybody does it, right? It's a part of if you want to get elected, you got to have somebody who is well-liked standing beside you going, I vouch for him. You know who I want standing beside me? My Savior. I want that endorsement. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want the endorsement that matters. Being popular. I like it. I'd much rather be popular than unpopular, but not if it means I have to compromise my faith. Not if it means I have to compromise my truth. Not if it means that I have to abandon God and follow the masses in the world. I don't know about anybody else, but I seek the approval of my Father in heaven and not the approval of the world. Let us pray together. Father, we do seek your approval, but if we're honest, we can get caught up in seeking the approval of the world. Lord, we pray that you would help us to find freedom from that. Lord, help us to know that it's your approval that matters, it's your approval that lasts, and your approval alone that will satisfy the desire of our longing hearts. Lord, we look to you this morning to be able to give up our popularity, to be able to give up that desire that moves around within us to want to please people, even at your expense. Lord, help us to find victory over that desire of the flesh that would lead us away from you. We love you dearly, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn this morning, I want to invite you. If the Lord is calling you to give up something this morning, maybe you've been chasing after popularity, and the Lord's saying, now's the day. Now's the time. Come down and just say, you know what? I'm tired of seeking the approval of everybody around me and not my Father above me. Let this morning be the morning that you come down to the altar and you say, Lord, I want your approval. Lord, I want your confirmation. I want your affirmation and nothing else, because you alone can satisfy. Or maybe you're here and honestly you've had something on your heart since the moment you walked in here. It's got nothing to do with popularity. It's got nothing to do with anything else that's been discussed throughout the worship service. But you know you just need to come down here and pray. Maybe the Lord's calling you to give something up. Maybe the Lord is calling you to take something on. Whatever it is, I would encourage you to move as you are so led to do by the Holy Spirit.